Hello and a very warm welcome to Central Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, the two issues, the decree and the referendum, were at the heart of the anti-Morsi protests that turned violent. Now, one issue, the decree, seems at least to some extent and according to some observers, has been dealt with. But it remains to be seen how the second is to be attended to. Now, earlier today, Egyptian military chief called for national dialogue to resolve the conflict. Now, later it was postponed due to low level of responses from the parties that had been invited to resolve the conflict. Welcome back. It's great to have you with us. Now, to further discuss Egypt and its latest extraordinary developments, two top guests join us today. Now, here in Tehran, I'm very pleased to be joined by a highly accomplished scholar and researcher, Dr. Mahmoud Karimi. It's a pleasure to welcome you to Central Stage.
Thank you. That's my pleasure.
Now, a little background on Dr. Mahmoud Karimi. Real expertise in Islamic law, established analyst and expert on political affairs of the role of Islam and the region. Now, Dr. Karimi is also head of the Office for Academic and International Relations at Imam Sadegh University. And hopefully, shortly, in our London studio, we'll be joined by Dr. Ali Kabani. And I've just been told that now we have the pleasure, actually, of being joined by Dr. Ali Kabani. So, Dr. Ali Kabani, thanks very much indeed for joining us. Welcome to Central Stage.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, let me just tell you that Dr. Ali Kabani is an established political analyst and writer, well-versed in the issues pertaining to the most populous country in the Arab world, Egypt. Now, it's time for a short break.
Since November 22nd, Egyptians have been holding demonstrations across the country both against and in support of Mohamed Morsi's presidential decree, which gave Morsi sweeping powers and placed him beyond judicial oversight as well as the draft constitution. Unfortunately, at least seven people have so far been killed during fighting between Muslim Brotherhood supporters and opponents. After a few long weeks of unrest on Saturday, Egyptian president eventually annulled the decree in a move that some analysts consider a concession to the opposition. Nonetheless, it's interesting to note that Morsi didn't back down until the army's ultimatum to Morsi and the opposition to sit down for talks, and that the referendum on the constitution will apparently go ahead on December 15th. In another development of this week, Egyptian president ordered the army to maintain security and protect state institutions amid planned protests ahead of a scheduled referendum on the country's draft constitution. The presidential order, which took effect on Monday, demanded that the military protect government buildings and gave the military the right to arrest civilians. The order was issued amid rising tensions, the opposition's rejection of the referendum on the country's draft constitution, and fresh calls for massive protests to be held. The opposition National Salvation Front declared on Sunday that it does not recognize the draft constitution, arguing that the draft fails to represent the Egyptian nation. The group's spokesman, Sameh Ashour, said, quote, "We reject the referendum, which will certainly lead to more division and sedition," unquote. The Egyptians revolted against former Egyptian president Hosni Mubarak and overthrew him in February 2011, bringing to an end his 30-year dictatorship. The second anniversary of the victory of Egyptian revolution is fast approaching. 2 years are gone, 2 years which were anything but easy for the most populous Arab country and its diverse people.
Hello again and welcome back. Now, on Saturday, Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi eventually annulled a decree he issued last month expanding his powers. Now, Dr. Karimi, it's a serious concession to the opposition, isn't it?
Yes. Firstly, I should say that, Egypt is the most populous and the most important, and we can say is the most cultured Arab country.
Right.
And since it has, in fact, the biggest role in the Islamic awakening of the region and in the revolutions of Arab countries, then knowing the developments in Egypt is very important, not only for Muslims, but also for the West and for all observers. You know that this decree, in fact, according to this decree, as you said, Morsi wanted to expand his powers, especially in appointing the Supreme Public Prosecutor and the Supreme Judiciary Council that was going to be somehow under the president. And also, if the president, according to that decree, if the president had any problem or if issued any decision, then he was not supposed to respond to any court, or he was not going to be tried, for example, or to be prosecuted by any court because of that. Then this is the essence of what happened, in fact, in that decree.
Then,
we can say that there were some problems, there were some, you know, political disturbances over this decree and also over the draft constitution. But why Morsi annulled, and whether it is a real concession, we cannot judge easily. Because, you know, President Morsi understood that this is there is a danger. The danger of opposition in Egypt from one side. Anyhow, they demonstrated in the streets, they protested against what had happened. Also, the problems or the reactions of the West and the United States against what he said and what he did. This was another problem, yes.
But, you know, a number of observers are saying that basically Morsi wanted to give himself powers because he didn't want the draft constitution to again be, you know, revoked by the judiciary. So that was probably the reason he gave himself powers, and he said that nobody can actually do that again. So probably in that case, this is not a concession. I mean, it's already been, you know, ratified and it's ready to be put to referendum. So is it a real concession?
Yes, I think it was not a real concession, you know, because some, as I said, there were some problems inside, and also the problem of the army, you know. It was probable that that there would be a coup against Mubarak, against Morsi. Then, and Morsi knew that nobody wanted him to be a powerful Islamist, and nobody wants Islamists in Egypt to grow and develop.
But they have very good relationships with the West, I mean Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes. They already have. At the same time, you know, they are negotiating, and their problems also are there. We cannot deny that there are some differences. In fact, Morsi is, you know, in a dilemma, I think. On the one side, in fact, negotiating with the West, and on the other side, also the Salafis in Egypt are expecting a radical Islamic government. And they are somehow accusing Morsi of a kind of, you know, concession and a kind of negotiation with the West. Therefore, he is to handle this situation. This is one case. And another problem is that I think it is not a real concession because anyhow, Morsi is establishing the referendum. And the referendum is going to be held. So if the referendum is held, it would be a strong point for Morsi, because after that and following that, then democratic institutions and civil institutions would be established easily, and according to them, he can execute and he can apply his powers more easily and legally. Then nobody can accuse him of illegal things or illegal decisions.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Karimi, for that. Now, we actually know that since November 22nd, there have been weeks of street protests leading to a dire political crisis. And then, Dr. Kabbani, we know that then the army gave an ultimatum to Morsi and the opposition to sit down for talks. So interestingly, Morsi didn't back down until the army's ultimatum. I think it's fair to say that post-Mubarak army still seems to be very powerful indeed.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I actually have a different reading of the army's declaration.
Mm-hmm.
Because the army actually came and supported the legitimate government and the legitimate president of Egypt, the elected president, Dr. Mohamed Morsi. Because there were calls from the opposition, especially from Baradei and Hamdi Sabahi, for the army to interfere. So their declaration came as a clear message. They are not going to interfere. They will only side with the Egyptian people. They respect the democratic process which have been chosen by the Egyptian people and which was called for by the Egyptian revolution. And now there is an elected president, and they called for a dialogue between the different factions to reach a peaceful solution to the problem. But the problem we have to discuss it, as Dr. Karimi explained very well, the importance of Egypt, that's why whatever is going to happen in Egypt will affect the whole of the Arab area. That's why we find that the counter-revolution locally, regionally, and internationally is working very hard in Egypt to abort the democratic change and the democratic process in Egypt.
Right.
So the counter-revolution elements, represented in my opinion by the Constitutional Court, the judges of which have been appointed all by Mubarak and selected certainly by his regime to serve him and to serve his government, as we all know, during the last 30 years, no one of them opened his mouth against all the violation of Mubarak, of the Egyptian constitution, against the falsification of the election. But they themselves created a constitutional vacuum to create a chaos by dissolving the first elected parliament in Egypt by fair and transparent election, as approved and witnessed by the whole world.
Right.
So although they found that there was some procedure irregularities or the process didn't respect some items of the constitution, the same thing the Constitutional Court in Germany found about the last election of the German parliament. But they did not order the parliament to be dissolved. They ordered the election committee to observe this violation in the next election, because the role of the Constitutional Court is an observer of the Constitution.
Right.
But they don't have the power to implement, and they don't have the power to rule the decision of the people who are the main sovereign.
Okay.
They are above the Constitution and above the Constitutional Court. So
great.
The Egyptian people's decision in that situation should not have been overruled by any power in Egypt. But still, they managed to dissolve the parliament, and they managed to revoke the decree of the president after to recall the parliament again until a new one is elected. So they themselves created the constitutional vacuum and then complained that the president have all the powers in his hand, the executive power and the legislative power.
Great.
So they have only themselves to blame. The second point I want to mention, they are trying to portray Dr. Morsi as a new dictator or a new pharaoh, and try to fool the Egyptian people by saying, we didn't get rid of a dictator to be replaced by another one, forgetting that no one elected Mubarak while Dr. Morsi is an elected president, forgetting also that the decree of Dr. Morsi is for a very short temporary period, weeks, not months, until the Egyptian people vote on the referendum about the constitution. So actually the main problem is between the revolution and the counter-revolution, between the legitimacy represented by the elected president and the opposition,
okay,
which they only represent a minority.
Thanks.
In Egypt. Because we know their size by the last fair election, that they couldn't get more than 30% of the seat in the parliament.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. You know, Dr. Kabbani, another point I'd like to mention is that an equally contentious issue is the referendum on the new constitution. And we know that Morsi insists the referendum on constitution will go ahead as scheduled. Now we have, of course, two dates for constitution, December the 15th and 1 week later. But, you know, the point is, Dr. Kabbani, that he actually, I mean, after Morsi had a meeting with a number of, you know, other groups to come to an agreement, it was said that Morsi said the reason that actually the constitution cannot be postponed was legal impossibility for the president to postpone the referendum. Now, it's now postponed to some extent, isn't it? I mean, they said we cannot postpone it, and now it's a sort of postponed because we have 2 days for the constitution. So another concession to the opposition, perhaps, Dr. Kabbani.
I agree with you that Dr. Morsi backing down on certain decrees and resolutions is affecting negatively his credibility and his image in the eyes of honest Egyptian people. Because the president, actually, the Egyptian people expect from him to consult with experts on the legality of his decrees and resolutions, and also consult politically to see the validity of this resolution, and at the same time prepare the Egyptian people for what he is going to decide upon. So no one really among the honest Egyptian people disagreed with him about the content of the latest constitutional declaration. But the non-preparation and
Dr. Kabbani, sorry, I apologize. The opposition are saying that we didn't have the Christians, we didn't have the liberals in the Constitution Assembly, so it does not represent the whole Egyptians. And we know that actually Morsi won with a slim majority, so it was not a landslide victory. And they are saying that it does not represent all Egyptians. That's what the opposition are saying about the Constitution.
First, if we accept the democratic game, we cannot complain about the outcome. Slim majority or landslide, it's the same thing. The French president won by 0.5%. The American president won by 1%. Even George W. Bush won the American election while Al Gore had more popular vote than him. Mm-hmm. So the outcome is Morsi is declared the president of Egypt. The second point is, it doesn't matter who prepared the constitution. The constitution could be prepared by even one person. And in my opinion, it should have been prepared by 5 or 6 legal people specialized in constitutional law. Then it should be discussed in the parliament and then approved by the Egyptian people in the referendum. So if, as they claim, that constitution does not represent the will and the wish of the Egyptian people, why are they scared from the referendum? In this case, if they represent the Egyptian people and they know what the Egyptian people want, they should put it in the referendum, knowing that the Egyptian people will refuse that referendum and will vote no. So if they were really Democrats, no Democrat can say, I don't want a referendum, because that will not be accepted by the people.
Okay,
while
great.
We are putting it to the people themselves to decide.
Okay.
So you know the contradiction they are facing?
Okay, thank you very much. Great, Dr. Kabbani, thank you very much indeed for that. Now it's time for a short break, but we'll be back right after this. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now we're talking about Egypt and of course lots of developments over the course of the last couple of weeks, and today we also had a number of developments. Now let's get back to Sunday. In a press conference on Sunday, the National Salvation Front, the main umbrella group for opposition parties, said it rejected the planned referendum and warned that it would lead to, quote, more division and sedition. Will it really, Dr. Karimi?
You know, the problems that the National Front, in fact, raises are firstly that people did not have enough opportunity to study the draft constitution, to exchange views about it. And
so that's why they want to postpone. That's one of the reasons.
Yes, this is one of the reasons, to discuss it among themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, they say that this draft constitution does not reflect the wills and the interests of the of all classes and all walks of life in Egypt.
Right.
Therefore, because of that, in fact, there should be some alteration and some adaptation in order to cover those interests too. And they claim that this draft constitution, in fact, violates the basic freedoms and rights of some of the people, especially women and the religious minorities.
Right, because Christians also.
Yes, Christians and, in fact, the Jew minority, Jewish minority. This is, and they say that, in fact, Morsi is not now representing the whole people of Egypt. In fact, he is representing the just one party, which is Ikhwanul Muslimin or Muslim Brotherhood. And this is not good for the president, because the president should be the representative of all, since he is elected, in fact, by those people. But we should know that, you know, when there is an elected president, then the minority should respect the vote of the majority and the decision of the majority. And if there are somehow a conflict between freedoms and rights, now those freedoms and rights should not be in a way to harm the freedoms and rights of the majority. You know, they say that, okay, there should be a kind of freedom, some kinds of rights, that if those rights and those freedoms are there, then they would harm and damage the rights and freedoms of majority who have chosen that president. And secondly, we should know that even if there is some conflict, there are some problems, then they should resolve it through what? Through national dialogue, through meetings. And in fact, if this happens, I think there would be no division and no sedition. It means that we accept that there are problems for minorities, and this is natural for every minority in every country. This is not peculiar and something exclusive to Egypt.
But what about women's rights? I mean, I was just listening to an interview. A woman, Egyptian woman, was saying that our rights are not, fully observed in the constitution. So that's an important accusation, isn't it? But if it is not, women's rights are not considered.
You know, what we have in the draft constitution is that Islam, and in fact, Islam is the source for all legislation.
Right.
So if Islam is going to be the source for all legislation, then it means that legislation about the women's rights and, in fact, women's freedoms also should be in the light of Islam. And this naturally reflects. So some of the things, or some of the freedoms and some of the rights which are claimed to be and alleged to be for women in the West, for example, or in Europe. So, and this is natural. And so if you have a source and people ratify, in fact, if people ratify this draft constitution, then it means that, okay, they have accepted this source for their legislation. And as I read, in fact, there are no serious problems. For example, they say that the age of marriage for girls is 14 or something, some matters of unemployment for women, or they have not the same opportunity as men. So this is to some extent.
I mean, because you know the Salafis are also powerful in Egypt, and they have probably a different reading of Islam. So do you think that probably the draft constitution is based on the Salafi readings of Islam, or is it based on the Muslim Brotherhoods?
No, it is not on Salafi. I said that In fact, now President Morsi is somehow has problems from two sides, because liberals and seculars on the one side say that, okay, you are going to have to be far from democracy, to be far from liberalism. And then Salafists say that, okay, President Morsi is not going to establish a radical and good Islamic government.
Right.
And because of that, in fact, it seems that President Morsi is just following a moderate route now. And if he continues this way, I think there is no problem, but he should know how to manage the situation.
Right.
Up to
Dr. Karami, there is one point that, I mean, Egyptians are saying that we wanted, actually it was a revolution and we wanted Egypt to move, you know, on a new, probably, path. So it shouldn't be like what we had under Mubarak. So how far do you think, or how much do you think the new constitution is in line with Egyptian revolution and what, you know, Egyptians really wanted?
So here we can say that if you see the demonstrations in Freedom Square or Tahrir Square in Egypt, you know, at that time people were shouting Allahu Akbar. People who gathered there, in fact, they were performing Friday prayer and congregational prayer, and then they continued their mottos and their slogans against Mubarak. So it means that the majority of people who participated in those demonstrations were Muslims, and their slogans also were Islamic slogans. So if the draft constitution is reflecting that kind of slogans, then it is natural that it is somehow showing and reflecting the view of the majority and, you know, the approach of people who have had the revolution and who have participated
right.
in those things. I think there is no serious problem here. And so all those, then there are secular people, there are those who support liberalism, but we know, we all know that they are the minority. And I think that if they are somehow creating some problems now in Egypt, it is because they know if this referendum happens, what would be the outcome? The outcome is that majority of, they know, the liberals and secular people know that majority would vote for it.
Right.
And if majority vote for that, then there is no room for alteration.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, from now, before the majority vote, they want to have their own alteration and intrusions.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Now, Dr. Kabbani, as you know, and as we're talking with Dr. Karami here in Tehran, they're talking about the constitution, draft constitution, and it seems to be quite controversial because probably also the, you know, we know that the presidential decree also had to do with, in one way or another, with the draft constitution. Morsi wanted that to be, you know, finished and to be put on referendum. So what do you think is, I mean, what's the problem with the constitution? Everybody's saying, I mean, I'm talking on based on what the opposition are saying, they have, you know, their concerns. They say we're concerned that our rights are not observed, the right of women, also the right of minorities, Christians. So what is your take on that? I mean, what's the biggest problem, do you think, that they're saying the draft constitution has, that they've made them so outrageous and made them continue protests?
Actually, I think they haven't read the constitution properly, and they are using it as an excuse, as I said before, to refuse the Islamist ruling Egypt. So that's their main conflict. But the constitution, I read it, and there is a chapter, actually, for the personal rights and freedoms to all Egyptian citizens. So that, in my opinion, include the women, because women are Egyptian citizens, and the minorities, Christians and Jews, because they are also Egyptian citizens. And also, this constitution, for the first time, saying that the law of the Christian religion and the law of the Jewish religion is the main source of law for their personal affairs. So for the first time, the Egyptian constitution, and in my opinion, this is the first constitution in the whole world which gave the minority the freedom to use their own religion to control their own affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first constitution, as I said, after Sahifat al-Madina, which is the Prophet salawatullahi alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, did in Medina to control the relation between the believers and the non-believers and the Christians and the Jews. So that constitution, in my opinion, granted the right to all the Egyptian citizens. The other point, the constitution is not the Quran, cannot be changed. For example, the French constitution have been changed more than 30 times since 1920 until now. Right. So again, the Egyptian constitution can be changed from time to time according to the wish and the will of the Egyptian people. And the same constitution is saying that 20% of the member of parliament can call for a change of any clause of that constitution.
Right.
So if you get 20% saying that they want to change, and then they discuss it and they change it, and they put it to a referendum, and the Egyptian people approve the change, so it could be changed. So it is not a heavenly revelation which cannot be changed. It's a human work which could be have a lot of mistakes, and we only, as human being, we can correct our mistakes with time. So that is the point about the constitution.
Right. Great. Thank you very much indeed. I have another question. We know that Selim al-Awa, a spokesman of a meeting Morsi held earlier with other political leaders, said that if the draft constitution were rejected, a new one would be drawn up by officials elected by the people rather than ones chosen by the parliament, as for the current text. So how do you think that will go down with the protesters? Briefly, please.
That actually is a big trap for the opposition, because if the Egyptian people say no to this constitution, and an elected members for a new committee, I will tell you that the Egyptian people will elect a majority of more than 80% from the Islamists in this constitution. So actually the current committee is so much better for the opposition now than the one which will be elected, because as Dr. Karimi said, from the revolution we saw that the voice of the Islamist was very strong, and we all know that 90% of the Egyptian people are Muslims and committed Muslims, and we know that the secular and the liberals represent really a small minority in the big cities, Cairo, Alexandria,
Great.
And probably the capitals of other governorates.
Okay, thank you very much.
But the majority of the countryside in Egypt are with the Islamic ruling.
Great, thank you very much indeed, Dr. Al-Kabani, for that. Now, it's time for a short break, but after the break, we'll be talking about, particularly about the role of military, and we'll see whether Egypt is actually on the way back to the power of the army and the military. So please do stay with us. Welcome back. Great to have you back with us. Now, early this week, Morsi ordered the army to maintain security and protect state institutions ahead of a planned referendum on the country's draft constitution. Now, the presidential order demands that the military protect government buildings and gives the military the right to arrest civilians. Now, Dr. Karimi, this seems to be the return of Egypt to the era of military rule, doesn't it?
In those protests, we witnessed some of the Muslim Brotherhood offices destroyed by the protesters, and some of the governmental buildings also were destroyed. So it meant that those demonstrations were not so peaceful. And maybe, although it's not good and it's not a welcome situation that the army would return to somehow react to the people. But if people or protesters force the army to come back or force the president to somehow use this force, so it would be somewhat natural. This is one point. Another point is that, you know, Egypt has been militarily ruled for years, for maybe, you know, half a century, for example.
Right.
Then it's not so easy to somehow calm down that army. So we need some time, and it takes some time that, in fact, civil institutions and democratic institutions be established, and the army believes that its powers should be limited, and also the whole people and nation in Egypt also know how to deal with each other peacefully,
right.
And then there would be no opportunity for army, in fact, to react. This is one. And another point is that, so in all countries, if there is a critical situation, you know, sometimes the police and the army would interfere. So now you see in Europe, in the United States also, so sometimes police are limiting and their army also outside, for example, now in the Middle East.
Right.
So they've brought all their armies and nobody protests because they say, okay, it's natural because their interests are satisfied and guaranteed this way. So if the interest of a nation by the elected president are going to be satisfied this way, in fact, by limited use of the army, then so this can be considered natural. Although, you know, in the draft constitution, we read that people should not be tried and prosecuted by the military courts unless they have done something against military. So it means that the powers of the military are going to be limited little by little, and I hope that, yes, in future it would be calmed down.
Dr. Kami, we have just about 2 minutes to the end of the show, and I'd like to put this question both to you and Dr. Kibani. So first, Dr. Kami, to you. There are some concerns that what we're seeing in Egypt could become a matter of national security and would probably spiral out of control. So are we on the brink of a civil war in Egypt, do you think?
I don't think so, because, you know, if the majority of people are on the scene and they are witnessing the situation, they themselves would defend their interests and would defend the nation.
Right. Thank you very much. Now, Dr. Kibani, this last question, and just less than a minute for that. How serious is the situation? Could this situation spiral and spread beyond Tahrir Square and Presidential Palace?
I don't think so. But after every revolution, there is a state of chaos which takes years or decades until a stable political system comes. But the difference in this primitive democracy, people have to understand that you can go in the street against the dictator to change the system. But in a democracy, the ballot box is the way to change. So the opposition have to know, they have to prepare the people for the next election to change if they want a change to take place.
Great. Thank you very much. Indeed, sorry to end it there, but they're out of time. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Ali Kibani, established political analyst and a writer in our London studio. And we also had Dr. Mahmoud Karimi, head of the Office for Academic and International Relations at Imam Sadiq University, in this studio. Thanks very much indeed to both of you for coming on, for talking to us, and of course for those insights on the latest developments in Egypt, a very important country, the most populous Arab country, and the country you know, whose developments everybody likes to follow. So until next week, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome.